Welcome to Parenting from the Inside. I am your host, Anna Vincent, and I am an IFS-trained family therapist and a mother of two. And today we're going to talk about becoming a self-led parent. This episode goes deeper into some of the things we've already been talking about IFS, about attachment, about new Danish parenting, the new paradigm of parenting. And we're going to talk about this from some different angles, going a little bit deeper into what is a self-led parent? How do we move towards this in our parenting, in our lives? Today is my first episode without Joel. He's going to be back on some of the later episodes, and today you have me all to yourself. And like always, this podcast and what we say here doesn't represent the IFS Institute or any other institutes or anything like that. And as always, only take what you can use. I'm not an expert on your life. I bring things that hopefully will be helpful, but only use it if it's actually helpful to you. And there's no model, there's no precise way that's right in parenting. It's about finding your way back to you. That's what this is all about and can hopefully help with. And if you have any thoughts, any questions, you're always welcome to write me here at Joel on the podcast. So in IFS, Internal Family Systems, you can learn a lot more about this on the first episode of this podcast. In IFS, we talk about self and we talk about parts. We all have an internal family inside of us, just like we have an outer family. And in IFS, we talk about parts and about self. Parts can be seen as our inner children, and they're the ones who hold on to burdens, they hold on to survival mechanisms, all the things that we have learned through life, both the good and the bad. They learn who we're supposed to be, who we're not supposed to be. And they can be really, really helpful, but they can also be very harmful when they protect us and react from places and from trauma in the past, not congruent with the present and what is needed, especially in our relationships and in our parenting. And in either case, just as our children in our outer family should never be responsible, should never be in charge, our parts or inner children also shouldn't have to take on responsibility like that. It's often too big to carry. And in a balanced system, in a healthy system, we are informed by our parts. We are not led by them. So self can be seen as the inner parent of our inner children. And this is the loving core that we all have, or that we all are. This is the secure inner attachment figure in our internal family system. And this is what our parts need to feel safe. When the attachment to our parents in our childhood was safe, our parts feel safer on the inside and have become attached to self. So the outer attachment facilitates inner attachment, like we talked about in earlier episodes. And when our parts feel safe, and can lean into self, we will have access to all this, all the love, all the wisdom, all the connection, all the felt safety of our self energy. But in an insecure internal system, parts will work really, really hard. There will often be a lot of inner conflict, which of course also creates and facilitates outer conflict. And parts will work hard and they will take up a lot of space. And just like clouds obscuring the sun, when parts take over, there's no access to self. But that doesn't mean it's not there. Just like the sun is always there behind the clouds, self is always there behind parts. So being self-led and parts informed by our parts, is an internal secure attachment where parts can lean into self, they can self-regulate, and they can inform the self. So they don't have to take over unless it's an emergency where fight, flight, freeze responses are temporarily needed in the present, is congruent with the present. But they don't jump in and take over all the time, like we often see, what often happens, especially when there's a lot of trauma. So becoming more self-led is about slowing down. It's about becoming conscious inside and out. It's about creating awareness of what is what, again, inside and out. And it's about healing. From there, we can see our children as they are without fear, without judgment from the past or anxiety about the future. We can see ourselves with love, which is really the only realistic way of seeing ourselves because we are love. And the rest is survival mechanisms from our parts. They have helped us, but they are not who we are. They are not what we are. They are not our core. And when we start to notice the difference in a felt way, it's not an issue anymore to tell intuition from trauma, because it's actually the difference between being self-led and being parts-led. While self is the higher and deeper connectedness to yourself and to everyone and everything in this world and beyond, your inner system of parts is your link and your out-of-relatedness to this world, to other human beings, to all the things on the surface, to interactions, to everyday life, and to all the doings that this world commands, that is part of this world. So we cannot live without our parts, and we're not supposed to. Our parts are supposed to be here and supposed to be really, really helpful. They're part of our system. But we easily end up living through our parts and in our parts from a place of doing instead of from self, from a place of being. And when we live through our parts, we're not rooted in the present. We're not present and aware inside and out in our lives, in our relationships, in our feelings, in our beliefs, our actions and reactions. So being and being self-led is an embodied state, is an embodied presence. And being and becoming embodied is a new awareness for many of us. And it's often a process because many of us have spent most of our lives being in our heads, being numb, being dissociated in many ways. And we have lived much of our lives like that for good reason. And when we have lived much of our lives like that, which is a kind of survival state, it's like learning a new old skill, becoming embodied again. And it takes practice, and there's a good reason why we needed to dissociate. Therefore, there can be either unconscious or conscious fear about getting back into our bodies. So to parts of you, it will not feel safe. And in later episodes, we're going to talk more about becoming embodied, about the nervous system. But right now, one important thing to say is use your breath. It's a classic for a reason. Because your breath is both automatic, autonomic, it just happens, right? This is the lower regions of your part of dealing with this. And it's also conscious. You can be conscious about your breath, you can hold your breath, you can breathe deeper. So this is actually a gateway to your parts, to your body, to your inside. This is a beautiful way of getting to know your system, of talking to your system in a felt way, in a different language than when we're just talking. There are many ways of communicating. And your breath is your number one resource to becoming present, embodied, and for nervous system regulation, for being in self-energy, and for being with instead of being in your parts. For some people, there's a lot of triggers and trauma in the breath, so there's lots of other ways as well that can become the first step into embodiment and into becoming more self-led and more aware on the inside. Even if you have triggers in this, just noticing that, just becoming aware without having to change anything is also a first step towards healing and becoming aware, becoming conscious. So here's an example of the difference between being parts-led and being parts-informed. I'm using anger as an example here. I often talk about anger, as you might know if you've heard the other episodes, because it's both a clear way of talking about this, because anger is something we all know about in different ways. It can be a clear example, and also because I think anger is so important because it's so misunderstood. Because many people have learned and see anger as something negative, something that we either react out or we suppress or repress. And therefore, starting to know and understand anger as a boundary, as something healthy that needs to be felt, is really important. That's why I bring it up quite often here. So here, let's see a part holding anger in a parts-led system. It can look like this. So imagine your child keeps asking you for something that you have already said no to, and you get more and more annoyed. Now, annoyed is a small anger. You get more and more annoyed every time you have to say no, and you end up exploding in a fit of rage. You're yelling at your kid, you're scolding them for their behavior. Now, this type of behavior, rage, both hurt you and it hurts your child, and it sends them into a state of shame and shutdown. It hurts your relationship to your child, and there's no benefit other than getting all that steam or that energy out that has accumulated on the inside. And this is, of course, not the intention of anger as a human function. So in this parts-led system, there's anger coming in, there's a part holding it back, right? The annoyance is an anger, and it's being held back until it explodes. So there's a part holding it back, and there's explosion of anger, which becomes a rage, which is not the intention. So let's look at anger in a parts-informed system, self-led, parts-informed. So here again, the setup is your child keeps asking you for something that you have already said no to. You notice tension building up inside as your child keeps asking you for something that you've already said no to, and you focus inwards for a moment, and you notice the annoyance getting stronger by becoming aware of the physical tension that's building up maybe in your upper torso, in your arms, in your fists. Your breath becomes more shallow, more restricted. And this is just one way that anger can show up in different ways in different people. The angry part is focused outwards, and it sees it as its job to stop the attack from your child. So who is being attacked, you ask yourself, and the part, which helps the part in you focus inwards and notice that it's protecting a more vulnerable part that's not feeling seen, that's not feeling hurt. This part is younger, and it's actually scared because not being seen and not having boundaries, not having your no respected feels dangerous to this part. Again, this is just an example of what can come up, what is going on the inside. So just letting this part know that you notice it is enough for now. And thank the part holding the anger, the protective part, for doing its job, for protecting this more vulnerable part inside and the fear. And when you're ready to send your awareness out to your outer relationship, out to your child again, just notice the shift in how you feel now, if there is one. And from this space, even if it's just a little bit of space, create it. And from this space, where hopefully the angry part is giving you a little bit more space to speak for it instead of from it, you might say something like, I noticed that I've said no many times and that you still keep asking. And I want you to know that I'm not going to change my mind on this, and I want you to stop asking me, what's that like for you? So this is setting your boundary in a clear way. This is me right now, and asking, what's it like for your child? Who are you right now? And of course, this depends on the age of your child as well, how you say this. Or it could be, I notice that you're not taking no for an answer, and I'm curious why it feels so important to you. Do you know why that is? And are you willing to tell me more about it so I understand it better? So noticing that the boundaries might be rooted in the past can also help you. It can help you feel safe enough to not have to react from them, to even not having to speak for them, because it might not be important in the relationship to your child. And it can help you be more flexible and be curious about what's actually going on in the other person, what's actually going on in your child, that it becomes so important for them to keep asking. So focusing on inner attachment and outer attachment, our parts can be seen as our inner children. I have said this many times before in the other episodes. And when asked, many parts will tell you how old they are, which often relates back to when the trauma happened that they're stuck in, when it occurred, or when they had to take on the jobs and hold on to the burdens of what happened back then. So in this way, parts can be stuck in the past. And many parts are preschool age, school age, teenagers. Some are babies or prenatal. Some are adult. And a few of them are ancient and exist out of time. And sometimes it's not important. If there's no answer, then at this point it's not important. But it can be helpful to actually see that, for instance, my angry part is a 5-year-old. Right? So it makes sense it reacts this way. It makes sense it doesn't know what else to do. And it makes sense that there might be fear under that. And no matter their ages, our parts can be seen as inner children or as inner beings, and that they're in need of a caretaking parent, of a higher self or an entity to feel safe with, to lean into, to revolve around. It makes sense that they need to feel safe, that they need to not feel alone, that in our nervous system, in our brains, in our bodies, they need to be integrated. When there's trauma, when they're alone, they're not integrated. So the most important thing also in IFS therapy is to start creating connections, start helping them feel safe on the inside. And integrated, unburdened, and balanced parts will revolve around self and be rooted in the present. And unintegrated, burdened, and extreme parts will revolve around each other, around burdens, and react from the past, react from what they're stuck in, and they will see the world through that. And as we talked about in the episodes on IFS and on attachment, our inner attachment, the parts to self attachment, relies on our outer attachment to our parents from childhood. So becoming securely attached on the inside happens in safe and loving relationships to our parents. The co-regulation from your caregivers, from their nervous system, teaches your nervous system, teaches your parts to lean in and to self-regulate. Traumatic things that happens uproot us from that safety. Unsafe relationships, especially to your caregivers, uproot us from the safety, from the felt safety inside and out. And the good things that did not happen that should have happened in childhood. All of these are traumas that we carry with us, and they block the inner secure attachment between parts and self in the inner family. And they take us away from being present and being self-led inside and out in a relationship to ourselves, to our partners, to our children. And the more extreme the pain and the trauma from the past, especially invisible traumas, the more extreme the reactions of our parts will also be, because the burdens are deeper and the felt safety is less. If I have not been co-regulated, I spiral out of my window of tolerance very easily. This means that I go from feeling safe, from having access to self-energy, to being hijacked by parts, and fly into fight-flight or into freeze, into shutdown. And it means that coming back takes longer, because our nervous system has not learned the way back to self-regulation, but has instead learned to shut down, to shut off feeling, to exile parts and their reactions. This is survival from a menopause is not something you're doing wrong. There's a good reason why this has happened and why there isn't those experiences on the inside in your nervous system and in your neural pathways. So it makes sense and you can begin to change it. So when the reactions, the feelings, the beliefs, the symptoms of our parts are extreme, it means that underneath there is or there was pain that is equally extreme. And it doesn't matter if you think, oh, I had a good childhood, oh, I didn't have this and this happened to me. This is not some objective way of looking at exactly what happened. This is about felt safety. If I didn't feel safe as a baby, if I didn't feel like I could come to my parents, there's so many things that does not look like big traumas, but it's the air we breathe, it's the normal of our lives that we're not safe, then we learn to shut off. So all this stuff counts for you, even if you don't see it right now. If you're just seeing that you have extreme reactions but don't know why, it still makes sense. Even if you don't know why, it always makes sense. You're no exception from that. But when we're not conscious of what happens inside of us, we're hijacked again and again and again, and we explode in anger, we shut down in shame, we feel like there's something wrong with us, we eat and we drink and we drug to numb, and we pass on the trauma. We disconnect. Our disconnect and the old paradigm of parenting and so on, we pass that on to our children. Because when we're in our parts, we're not connected. Being hijacked by our parts is a disconnect. It's a disconnect from the present. It's a disconnect from ourselves. And it's a disconnect from our children. So in this way, we're not only disconnecting from our inner children, but also from our outer children. And we pass on the pain of disconnect to them. Again, this is not something to blame yourself for. It makes sense. It makes sense and it takes hard work and we're not going to do it perfectly when we try to change this. It makes sense. And now in the present, becoming aware of it, we can start to make changes. We can take responsibility so we don't have to pass it on like it was passed on to us. The best way to understand our parts and the burdens that they carry is by listening to them. Because there's always a good reason why our parts feel and react exactly the way they do. Sometimes our parts will tell us in words, in thoughts, in memories, and other times it might be less clear, or it might need to be translated from body language, from sensations, depending on the system and depending on the age of the part. And even if there's no words, it doesn't mean that the part is not talking to you. It means we have to listen in different ways. You can definitely heal and you can work with parts that are babies, that are prenatal. Trauma that goes back before you were even born is also something you can work with. But you often need to find a good facilitator that knows how to help you with that. And IFS is one of the models that can do that, provided that the therapist or the practitioner has knowledge and experience about this. But many people are defending against listening inwards. It's because shame and because fear is blocking our curiosity and our self-energy. If we don't know that we always make sense, if we don't know that I am bad, I am unlovable, I am unworthy, is a burden, it's not the truth. It's not who we are at our core. If we don't know that, it's really hard to look inside. And this is why understanding and knowing a bit about development and attachment is so important. Because otherwise it feels really scary to look inside and to show up on the inside for ourselves and as ourselves. We often learn, we often hear that bad people do bad things, that vulnerability and feeling or feelings is a sign of weakness, that our worth depends on social status and educations and jobs, that mistakes are punished and that they define us, that substance abuse is a matter of character and willpower or the lack thereof. We're taught to fight our inner reactions. We are not taught to listen. And we are taught to shut off from ourselves, to be in a certain way and to fit in. There's a lot to learn here. There's a lot to unlearn here in order for us to feel safe enough to look inside, to be with our parts and to listen. Because our parts and our nervous system is talking all the time. Even if you feel numb, even if you don't feel anything, even if you're just reacting, your system is talking to you. And you can learn to listen. And the first thing when there's a lot of fear is to start listening to the fear. Because that makes sense too. Even if not for other reasons, just based on what I just said, it always makes sense. And what's in the way is the way. Go with that and get a facilitator that can help you if you need to. Most of us do. So like I said, your parts and their behaviors and their burdens always make sense. There's always a good reason, but often it has a lot more to do with the past than with the present. Let's look at an example on parenting. I call this the dinner table situation. This is about the mother Shannon, her husband Derek, and their 4-year-old daughter Tish. And it's a made-up example. Shannon comes to family therapy to talk about the dinner table situation. Both Shannon and her husband Derek work full-time. And when they do have time at home with their 4-year-old daughter Tish, they try to spend it efficiently and to have a lot of happy family time together. This is a wonderful example, of course, but it doesn't always leave space for us to be who we are and feel the way we feel. And the problem here is that Tish is not happy all the time. Of course, she does not want to sit down and eat the food that they cook together, and she reacts with anger and with being wild instead of being calm and happy like they want her to. So their happy family time ends up in frustration instead. Now, Derek, having grown up in a more strict family environment, feels like they need to be more firm, put down more boundaries, where Shannon feels pulled between wanting to please her husband and trying to help her daughter be a child. Now, many things are happening here at once. All of them means that Tish is not being met in how she feels, and she's not getting space to be herself. And it's natural and in accordance with her integrity to react to being objectified like that. She's also had a long day in kindergarten, as both parents are working full-time jobs. And being in kindergarten is a bit like having a job. It's a workplace that you didn't even choose. And you have to fit into a lot of rules and a lot of norms. And you do not have space to just be you. So when a child comes home from work, from a long day of work, they need space to be themselves, to react to stuff that has come up. And a situation like the dinner table situation here does not create space for that. Having to act and having to feel in a specific way in the dinner table situation, being calm and happy, should not be a goal or a demand in itself, as it means that we have to perform to fit in, unless we by some coincidence actually feel happy and calm at that very moment. This leaves Tish with an unconscious choice of either over-cooperating away from herself to fit in place, or to rebel and stay in her integrity and tell her parents that something does not feel right. We talked a lot more about this on the first episode on New Danish Parenting, where there's a lot of information about making sense of children and translating their behavior. Now, we can guess that Shannon's reaction in childhood was the opposite of the one that Tish is showing here. She has learned to please to keep the peace. And now as an adult, the pleasing part is caught between the needs of her daughter and the needs of her husband, which probably, to add to her inner conflict, creates doubt between what she has learned in childhood in the societal norms, what her husband feels about it, and what her daughter is showing in her reaction. So which part should she listen to? This is overwhelming and an inner conflict in itself. Derek, on the other hand, is more firm in his beliefs. This is how I was raised. This is how it is. So now I'm raising my daughter like this. Which unfortunately means that he is not always seeing his daughter and her needs in the present. Underneath a firm or maybe even rigid part like this, there's often fear of a young boy who was not seen and who was punished for not knowing his place. So rigid parts shut off to the young vulnerability like this and has a whole lot of societal norms and social rules to help keep this in place. And Shannon's doubt makes Derek's rigidity stronger to keep it balanced. In this way, our inner families and inner conflicts creates and adapt to our outer families and our outer conflicts. So they reflect and reinforce each other. So what a gift our children is giving us. If we're willing to look, if we're willing to heal the past, we can repay the gift by letting our children be themselves in the present so that they don't have to heal from it later on. And of course, there can still be rules around the dinner table, but they need to be based on your conscious present day values and in balance with your children's needs, their age, and their personality. So let's look now at some steps towards becoming more self-led. Now, the first step is slowing down and creating space. So trauma energy is fast. Both healing and being present is slow. And when we slow down, we create space. And in space, there's self-energy. And yes, we can also be excited and we can be full of energy without being taken out. It depends on our window of tolerance, which we will talk more about in a later episode. A window of tolerance is related to how much stimuli or strong emotions our nervous system can hold while still remaining present and centered in the here and now. When we go out of our window of tolerance, we go into a sympathetic arousal, fight flight energy, or parasympathetic shutdown, freeze. And this has many nuances to it. It's not either or. Some of us are more sensitive in general, like highly sensitive people, which we're going to talk a lot more about in later episodes too. And many of us have lower thresholds because of trauma and not being co-regulated by our caregivers. Again, co-regulation leads to self-regulation in the nervous system. and it will depend on the specific person and nervous system, which stimuli, which emotions, situations, and relationships will jump us out of our window of tolerance. The practice of slowing down is a practice of noticing yourself in the present, on the inside, in the present moment, without judgment. What am I noticing right now? What does it feel like inside of me? What story am I telling myself about me or about my child? The meaning making of our parts. Is there an impulse? And instead of following that impulse, notice what it's letting you know and if there is any action needed. So there's quite a difference between noticing what's going on inside of you and trying to figure out what's going on inside of you. When we think the body, we're not in contact, we're not embodied. And if you don't know the difference in this, which is normal for many people and takes time and practice to get a felt sense of the difference between being embodied, feeling your body, feeling your parts, and thinking them, you can try to feel into the shift between thinking about your foot and sending awareness to your foot, thinking about your stomach, sending awareness to your stomach, thinking about your arm or your leg and sending awareness to it. When you think about a body part, it's more like an object, like a dead thing almost. But when you send awareness to your leg, for instance, it will become more alive, more warm. Energy will flow through it because you're in it, because you're embodied. So really play around with the difference of noticing that. Take your time and you will feel a difference in it. Step number two is becoming conscious. Becoming conscious can mean a lot of things. And what we focus on here is to start noticing not only your reactions or feelings or thoughts or beliefs or meaning makings, but also the parts that are holding them. Because aside from deeper feelings of love, acceptance, curiosity, open-heartedness, most of our reactions and feelings are coming from parts. So you can always assume that. And this does not mean that they're not important. Because they are, and they are informing us about something important in the present, or more often, something important in the past that is still being held in us and is being triggered in the present. And this is a chance for healing. This is a chance for getting to know yourself better, understand yourself better, and heal the past. So these reactions are stories waiting to be told, and inner children waiting to be seen and to be invited back home. And when we start to notice our parts, many things can change. One important shift is that we start to realize that our feelings, our reactions, our beliefs are not who we are. Not the whole and not the only truth. Not all of us. So again, if we take anger as an example, when anger shows up, I am not anger. I am not angry. Not as a whole, but a part of me is angry, is holding anger. Another part of me might be sad. There's probably a part holding shame about the anger showing up. And there might be a part that's trying to hold back the anger in order to fit in order to keep you safe. And the part of me that's angry, maybe even rageful, can take up so much space that it feels like all that there is. Remember, our parts are only as extreme as they need to be, as they needed to be in one moment in time. And this calls for curiosity, not for judgment. So take a moment to notice yourself on the inside right now. And only really do this if you're in a safe, calm space, and don't do it if you're driving or anything like that. But if you have space right now, take a moment and notice yourself on the inside. Close your eyes, if that feels okay, and just feel inwards. Notice your breath, and notice the whole of your body. Just breathe, and notice what is present for you. A feeling, a sensation, an image, a memory, perhaps a thought. There's no wrong answer. You can slowly scan your body if that feels right, noticing your feet, noticing your legs, noticing yourself sitting in the chair holding you, your back and your stomach, noticing your breath going into your stomach, going into your chest. Noticing your arms, noticing your head, and remember your head is part of your body. Noticing your whole and breathing. Breath is always in the present, so there's self-energy in your breath. And just seeing, what are you noticing right now? Whatever you notice, just notice it and see how you notice it. You cannot do this wrong. So you don't have to worry about it. Any thinking parts, they can relax, or you can notice them. So just take a moment noticing, welcoming yourself on the inside. What are you noticing? Maybe your throat is constricted. Just notice that and notice any reactions to that. Maybe other parts don't like it. Maybe they're trying to figure it out. Maybe they're worrying about that. Maybe the rest of your body tightens up as a response to that. Just notice it. Any feelings, any sensations in that? There might be sadness behind the throat that's closed off. There might be numbing. Often we feel our parts somewhere in or near our bodies. Is there any place inside that your attention is drawn to? Send your awareness there and let the part know that you notice it. See if you're feeling open to hearing from the part. Maybe there's something it wants to share with you right now. And our parts can share in many ways. Through thoughts, words, feelings, images, sensations, movements, impulses, memories, emptiness, nothingness. A part hiding as soon as we send our attention to it is also awareness. Just noticing that, welcoming it, and noticing are there other reactions to that. Maybe another part gets annoyed. Maybe a part feels like you're doing it wrong, feeling hopeless about it. Just noticing that. And even if you don't understand what a part is trying to communicate to you, or trying to let you know, just thank it for showing up exactly as it did. And if any parts showed up in response to it, just thank that part as well for showing up. All parts are welcome. All parts make sense. Even if you don't know how right now, even if you don't get it, even if you feel like you're doing this wrong, all parts make sense. All parts are welcome. And the more we start noticing our parts in this way, the easier it is to become more and more conscious of our parts, to understanding and seeing how do they show up, why do they show up, when do they show up, and in relation to whom. In this way, we can start to help them. If you had your eyes closed, to see if you need a bit of time to just come back to this room. You're also welcome to pause me if you want to stay with any part. And if anything feels overwhelming, let the part know that you'll come back to it and open your eyes. Notice that you're right here in the present. Notice that my voice is right here with you. In the present, you're safe. And let the part know that you'll come back to it. Now, you might need a facilitator, especially if it was a bit overwhelming, to be there with you. And if you didn't feel anything, if this didn't make sense at all, then don't worry about that. Our parts show up in different ways, and sometimes going through a little exercise like this is not helpful. That doesn't mean you can't do it. It doesn't mean that you don't have parts or that you're doing it wrong. Maybe it means that this exercise wasn't quite right for you right now. Or maybe your parts actually showed up the way they needed to right now. That's okay. That's good. Just welcoming it. So noticing in words like this, a part that's holding anger might, instead of turning to scolding your children or exploding in rage or suppressing or being suppressed, might inform us that our boundaries are being overstepped in some ways in the present, or about something from the past that needs connection and healing, something that was triggered in the present. For instance, your child behaving in a way that in your childhood was dangerous or not allowed, scolded, ridiculed, ignored. Often we end up disliking or even hating the parts of us that our parents couldn't love. And then seeing the same behavior in our children is bound to stir up strong emotions. For instance, anger. If not conscious, We're likely to pass on the pain to our children, even though it had nothing to do with them, but was triggered by their innocent behavior. So instead, when conscious, we can see these triggers as trailheads, which can lead us back and heal the pain from the past and not pass it on. Becoming conscious means, among other things, connecting with our parts instead of just reacting from them. This is a huge step towards becoming more self-led and parts-informed. In this way, we can make conscious choices about how we want to show up in our relationships, in our parenting, what we want to pass on, and what needs healing and connection on the inside. And the next step is becoming aware of what is what. So this is about seeing the patterns and taking off the glasses of our parts that we see the world through when we're blended with them. When we start getting to know the reactions and the feelings as a part, we can start to differentiate from them. A part of me feels sad. I feel some of the sadness that the part is holding, and I also feel appreciative, compassionate towards the part. Differentiating from the part means that we can connect with the part from self. It doesn't mean that the part has to go away. So this is when we can start to heal and to feel safe on the inside. But it also means that we can stop seeing the world through their eyes, through the eyes of our parts. Because seeing the world through the eyes of our parts is like wearing glasses that change and obscure our vision. Through the glasses of a hypervigilant part, danger lurks everywhere, and you need to be on your guard. Your heartbeat becomes elevated. You won't be able to focus on normal tasks or connection in relationships. This is really smart if you're actually in a dangerous situation. But these parts can get triggered by little things that remind us of the past without there being a real threat in the present. And through the glasses of a part that feels unworthy or bad, not lovable, you will notice people on the street looking at you in negative ways or not looking at you at all. And the meaning making of these parts will tell you that it's because you're nothing, because you're a rotten apple, because you're not even worth looking at or saying hi to when people pass you on the street. And through the glasses of an annoyed part, again, annoyed is a small anger, your partner is chewing too loudly, or you just know that you're going to be left with the dishes again. The sound of your kids fighting is cutting all the way into your bones. And if they start calling for your help, you're really going to lose it. So when we connect with our parts and start to differentiate, the glasses can come off and we can breathe. There's space inside and there's openness in our hearts. This is self-energy. And it doesn't have to be complete, it doesn't have to be total, it can just be a little bit. And from there, our vision is a lot more clear. And we can see that no one is out to get us. That other people are busy and stressed too, that our children are doing the best they can. Learning how to be in relationship and being in and with the parts of them that comes up when their siblings yell, when dad is chewing loudly and when mom is being annoyed and so on. Then we can respond both to our own parts in a way that's calming, and we can respond to our children with compassion and help them on their journeys in becoming themselves. And the fourth and last step here is healing. Healing happens in therapy. It happens in meditation. It happens in walking in the woods, in sharing our vulnerability in safe and loving spaces and relationships. Healing happens when we connect. When we connect with our parts, when we help them release the fear, the pain, the burdened beliefs of unworthiness, of lonesomeness from the past. When they are able to share their stories with us, healing can happen. Burdens can be released. In IFS therapy, we connect inwards with our parts and we help them feel safe enough to share what they have been holding for so long. Inner secure attachment starts to form when we connect with our parts through self. When parts start to trust, self can emerge. And when self emerges, parts get a felt sense of safety and of love, and they start trusting more and leaning into the inner secure attachment that should have been theirs from the start. It's never too late, and you have all that you need to heal already. Healing happens in inner safe relationships, and it happens in outer safe relationships, often in the safe container of therapy. When our parts start to heal and to integrate, huge shifts can happen and we start to feel different. We become ourselves more and more. And sometimes this goes fast and sometimes it's a slow and gradual process. There's no right and wrong. Our window of tolerance starts expanding and we experience more freedom inside and in being ourselves in relation to our children and seeing them with love as they are, allowing them to be and to become themselves, allowing us to heal our own childhoods and allowing our children to be themselves and to need less healing when they grow up. Remember, it's not about being perfect, it is about being you. And just before we end for today, take a moment to just focus inwards. Again, if you're driving, don't close your eyes or anything like that. But just focus inwards and notice yourself. You can notice, for instance, your breath. You can notice love. You can notice spaciousness, notice acceptance, notice warmth, notice aliveness. Just see what you notice, and it doesn't have to be a lot, just a little bit. And just send your awareness to it. Just send your breath to it. Invite it to move, invite it to expand, invite it to pulsate if it's willing to. And if there's no objection to it, send it to your parts. Send it out into your system, out into your body. If it's willing to, if your parts are willing to take that in even a little bit. Being is who you are. And you cannot do it wrong, because it's not about that. It's not about doing. Now just open your eyes if they were closed. Bring your awareness outside to the here and now. And thank your parts for the trust. Notice you're right here. Your parts are right here with you, and you are being, you're breathing, and you cannot do it wrong. You're right where you need to be in this moment, and taking the next step towards healing is being you. And that's all for today. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And like always, you're welcome to write me if anything comes up. Let me know how anything lands with you. Something that doesn't land, something that feels right or doesn't, it's all welcome. You can write me on Instagram or through the information in the description on the podcast. Thank you for listening.